Are you beautiful this morning? Have you been thinking about whether or not you're beautiful coming into God's presence? America thinks a lot about beauty. We spend an awful lot of billions of dollars on beauty treatments, cosmetics, finery. I have a friend that started a high fashion jewelry company 10 years ago, and they're doing in the hundreds of millions of dollars every year. And it was just a side business, and now it's just sweeping the country. Beauty is important to us. But more than that, beauty is important to God. And God says, especially as He's invited us to a banquet, a celebration, His table, He says, I want you to come, and I want you to come before Me, and I want you to be beautiful. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me show you as I introduce the secrets of unfading beauty. If you want to turn and follow with me, I'm going to start in Exodus 28:2. Now, we're headed to Luke 1, to Mary. And we're looking at Mary, one of the most beautiful women in the world, because God picked her to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get to Mary and see the secrets of unfading beauty in her life, let's look at what God means by being beautiful. Exodus, that's Genesis, second book of the Bible, chapter 28, verse 2 and 40. Because number one, listen, beauty was required in those who were regularly in God's presence. Now in the Old Testament we have an interesting study. In the Old Testament, before the New Covenant, before the cross, before Christ, God had a select group of people representing the common people coming into His presence. They were called priests. There were normal priests, there were high priests. There were Levitical workers working with the priests. Those people represented the common people before God. Now, we don't have that anymore. And any church that maintains that you can't come directly to God, you have to have a priest, is following the Old Covenant, and they have forgotten what the cross did. But it's interesting to study how the Old Covenant operated. If you look at 28:2, it says, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, this is God talking to Moses, for glory and for what? Beauty, the Authorized Version says. Splendor, others say, but the idea is something beautiful. Aaron, the high priest, who was continually in God's presence, was to be beautiful. Look at verse 40 of the same chapter. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, you shall make sashes for them, you shall make hats for them, and it tells all about them, but for glory and for beauty. Now listen, beauty was a requirement for people who regularly came into God's presence. Now think for just a minute. Are you wearing the most beautiful clothes that you could wear to God? But what was beautiful to Him? Well, we covered this many months ago in another setting. But what the absolute perfection of the beauty was, these were white garments, and they were extremely modest. Now, they were never to wear immodest clothes, but to work in, they wore regular clothes. But when they came into God's presence, these priests wore extremely beautiful, but extremely modest clothing. You say, you mean there is modest and immodest clothing for men? Yes, for anybody. And in God's presence, those who regularly came into His presence, those who were regulars, had to be wearing the most beautiful and the most modest clothing. Now, when you came in this morning, is that what you planned on wearing? Did you plan on wearing absolutely the most beautiful and the most modest thing you could wear because you were coming into God's presence? Did you think about this is one of the highlights of the week? I mean, more than a tea party in the Rose Garden at the White House, more than going to the governor's mansion, more than being invited to the Fortune 500 retreat up somewhere in Utah in the mountains, have you thought that what you wore here this morning is utterly important to God? And God says those who regularly come before Me should come into My presence beautiful. Keep going to 1 Chronicles. Now that's Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel Chronicles, there it is. And 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29 is the second aspect. Because first of all, we saw in Exodus, beauty was required in those who were regular in God's presence. Secondly, beauty was expected in corporate or group worship. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord, what? In the beauty of holiness. Beauty was expected in corporate worship. All of us coming beautifully arrayed are to offer beautiful praise to God. Now, I meet people, they say, well, I don't sing. Or other people say, you know, I just come to listen. I don't participate at all. Well, what God wants is this. Beauty is expected from each of us in corporate worship. How do we do it? Verse 29 starts, give the Lord glory, do His name. I mean, in your heart and from your inner being, just say, God, you're worthy of glory. What does glory mean? It means focus. It means admiration. It means and kind of an overwhelming sense of who God is. You give that to God. Secondly, it says, bring an offering. I mean, anybody can bring an offering. You can press a penny or nickel into your children's hands so that they can bring an offering to God. And what a joy to let them give that to God. God doesn't measure offerings by the amount or by the denomination. He measures it by the cost to us. And we should bring an offering to God. And we should come before Him. And that starts, in our family, starts on Saturday night. I mean, we focus everything. Our Bible story, the bath time, the getting the clothes up. We're saying we have a big meeting tomorrow. It's the most important one of the whole week. That's how we start our week, in God's presence. And we just, everything just winds down and gets a singular focus. Why? Because we're coming before Him. And we worship Him with that preparation as a group in the beauty of holiness. Now look at 2 Chronicles. That's the next book over, chapter 20. Because in Exodus 28, we saw beauty was required for those who were regulars in God's presence. Secondly, we saw in the last passage, beauty was expected in corporate or group worship. Thirdly, beauty was how God describes the praise that He desires. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 21. And when he consulted, this was in a battle scene, and the king was inviting God to help them win. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Now, what does God expect in our offering of praises to Him? Well, beauty is how God describes the praise He desires. And what was it? Well, you notice, what's at the end of verse 21? They're quoting scriptures. They're quoting from the Psalms. They're quoting God's Word. God loves to hear His Word. He loves to hear God's people saying His Word corporately. And if you know anything about this situation, the army is behind this group of worshipers, and they're going out to face an immense host. And these people don't have any armaments. They don't have any shields or spears. They just go out quoting Scripture. What a picture of how to be triumphant in the Christian life. And God says, beauty is how I describe praise that I desire. And that praise that I desire involves people that sing and people that praise Him and people that are speaking His Word. What a wonderful thing. That's why we memorize. That's why we bring our Bibles with us. That's why we underline and mark up our Bibles. We find good sections. This morning I found another good section in my Bible. Another one that I hardly remember finding before. And we underline and mark them. We have them on our heart and we speak them back to God. Beauty is how God describes the praise that He desires. Now turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, please, with me. Again, the book of Psalms is a whole theology of worship, and it's a good book to get to know. I know that it's very dear to most believers' hearts. But Psalm 27, verse 4, is the fourth aspect of this beauty that God wants from us. And the fourth aspect is this, Psalm 27:4. Beauty is a mark of pleasing personal worship times. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, if your personal worship times to the Lord are pleasing to Him, they will be marked by beauty. Do I mean a little, you know, a little perfume or a little extra? No, no, I'm talking about our heart's attitude toward God. Listen as I read Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Oh, what? Now that's worthy of a whole morning spent in that verse. Did you catch that? One thing have I desired. You know what characterizes true personal worship? It's not, oh, come on, I've got to get my time reading and praying. Got to get it over with. I've got so much business, you know, to do. I've got to read the paper. I've got to watch the news. I don't want to miss the weather. You know, come on, God, I've got to get my chapter read, you know. oh, there's nothing that will be beautiful then. It's a singular heart focus. One thing I have desired of the Lord. You know, the Lord knows when we come into His presence whether we're really seeking Him or not. And He says, why don't you rend your hearts instead of your garments? Don't do the outward show. He says, do something on the inside. And just say, God, I have 5 minutes this morning, I have 10, I have an hour, I have 15 minutes. But you've got all of them. You've got all of me. You've got my entire focus. God, I lay aside everything else, and I'm going to focus on you. And once you get into that heart attitude, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, there was no temple at this time. There's just a tent. And David isn't talking about hanging around the temple all the time. He's talking by this house of the Lord gift. He's talking about he wanted to be in God's presence, and he equated that with the tabernacle. This is not the house of the Lord. I mean, this could be a basketball court throughout the week. I mean, they could do anything in here they want. It's only sanctified and hallowed when we get here. And you know what? One of us alone constitutes an assembly of worship before the infinite God. So what you want to desire is not to be at church all the days of your life in this building, but to be focusing on the Lord. Look at the next phrase. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And to inquire in His temple, the temple of God, we are, because the Spirit of God lives within us. And there's a temple in heaven, and for a while there's a little temple on earth, and there's another one coming in the future. But what he's talking about is being caught up and communing with God in His presence. And beauty is a mark of pleasing personal worship times. And you can do this as I have. I mean, I have worshipped the Lord waiting in airports and waiting in bus stations, waiting in train stations, riding on boats, riding in planes. I've worshipped the Lord driving in my car. I've worshipped the Lord at rest areas. I've worshipped Him often at the kitchen table early in the morning, late at night. I mean, you can worship the Lord anywhere. All it takes is tuning everything else out by conscious choice and tuning only Him in. Can't have the split-screen TV. You know, nowadays you can watch more than one show at once. God says, I don't like that. One show, me, He says. Focus on me. And beauty is the mark of pleasing worship, because when we have that focus, we behold His beauty. Keep turning to Psalm 29, just two psalms over. Because fifthly, beauty is how God describes the holiness He desires for us. He wants us to be beautiful in His holiness. Give to the Lord, verse 2 of 29. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What's the best way we can come dressed before God this morning? Not with some expensive clothing, but to wear the most priceless clothing, His holiness, be arrayed in God's holiness. It's the last verse of 1 Corinthians says this. It says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Of God is Christ made unto us wisdom and knowledge and sanctification and redemption. Put Him on. Romans 13:14, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Wear Jesus Christ. You want to know what the best thing is to wear? Put on Jesus Christ. And then look in the mirror and say, would Jesus wear what I'm wearing? Because I'm wearing Christ. Am I the most beautiful and the most modest and the most holy I could possibly be coming into His presence? Now, corporately, we only do this a few times. But personally, it's what we do every time we come into worship. Another verse, Psalm 96, if you want to turn over about 67 chapters. Psalm 96 and verse 9, same thing, repeated. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Holiness is acknowledging His utter sinlessness, His utter separation from all that is fleshly and all that is tainted and all that is touched with corruption. And when you see Him in the perfections of His holiness, it makes us tremble because He is so awesome. Remember, He's a consuming fire and He is so powerful. God is so utterly unlike us, and yet He's revealed Himself to us. Well, beauty is how God describes the holiness He desires for us. He wants us to give Him the glory due His name by worshiping the beauty of His holiness. And as that verse we see, we need to worship the Lord clothed in the beauty of holiness. Just for a minute, back to Psalm 50 and verse 2. Psalm 50 and verse 2. Because the sixth aspect, God's beauty treatment he wants us to be involved in is that he is beautiful. I mean, have you ever thought of God as beautiful? He says, I want you to think of me as beautiful. Psalm 50 and verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. He says, I'm the perfection of beauty. Now, I hear people all the time, they say, oh, wow, she's beautiful. Or, oh, what a beautiful car. Well, you know what God says? You think that's beautiful? I'm the perfection of beauty. He says, I'm the ultimate. I'm the most beautiful. You know, most of us know more about beautiful cars and beautiful other things than we do about beautiful God. And God says, I want you to linger in my presence. Psalm 50 and verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Now, don't turn there, because you can start turning to Psalm 90, okay? Let me read Isaiah 33:17 to you, okay? While you're turning to Psalm 90, the last verse, let me read to you Isaiah 33:17, because this is what God promises to you and me every day when we get into His Word. Your eyes will see the King in His beauty. They'll see the Lamb that's afar off. That's a great verse. You ought to have that one underlined. When you and I get alone with God in this book, we get to see the King in His beauty, and through this book, we see the Lamb that's far off, His presence, heaven, the glory of eternity with Him. We see that through this book. You know, I meet people, they have real struggle. They say, man, I don't get anything out of this. But I think they have their eyes closed, because I have never opened the pages of this book that I didn't see some facet of the King and His beauty. Now, sometimes they had to fight off sleep. Sometimes they had to fight off anxiety. Sometimes they had to fight off distraction and a million things in my mind. But as soon as you tune out all the other screens and just look at one channel, God, you can start. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, some of these files that come in are so big that it takes them a while to come in on the screen. You know, they just kind of slowly come on in the computer and they just slowly fill the screen. Now, that's how I feel sometimes. You know, I don't see God in His beauty right away. Sometimes, you know, I have to get my mind focused, but all of a sudden you start seeing Him in His Word. And then when you see the King in His beauty, you see the Lamb that's far off, when we're going to be with Him forever. No more sickness, no more sadness, no more sleeping, no more night, no more separation, no more tears. But we see the King in His beauty, because God's beautiful. And that's how He describes Himself. But now, the last verse of Psalm 90. And then we're going to conclude our study of Mary. But I want you to see this last verse of Psalm 90. And let me give you a running start. Number one, beauty was required of those who were regularly in God's presence. Remember the priests? Secondly, beauty was expected in corporate worship. They were to be focusing on God's beauty. Thirdly, beauty is how God describes praise that we're to offer Him. Fourthly, beauty is a mark of personal worship times that please God. Fifthly, beauty is how God describes holiness that we're supposed to wear. Sixthly, God's beautiful. Now here's the last point, Psalm 90 and verse 17. God wants to make us beautiful today. Did you know that? Have you stopped for your beauty treatment? We were on our way to meet a group of people at a Don Crane luncheon, and our family was getting ready. And I said, honey, what can I do? And she handed me a washcloth and said, wipe so-and-so's face, you know, chocolate. You know, it gets everywhere except in their mouth. And this one little type loves chocolate, and it's all over. And so I said, Jeremiah, look at Daddy. That little moonbeam face is like this, covered with chocolate. I said, hold still, honey. I took the washcloth and I started, and I said, wow, who is that under there? Ooh, is that Harry the Dirty Dog? You know, got him all. I said, it's you. And he smiled real big. All the chocolate was gone. Did you know I couldn't have done that if he hadn't done what Psalm 90 and verse 17 says? Look at this. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Literally, hold still, stop, wait. Let me do this. Look up at me. Turn your little face up to me, God says. Let me take the washcloth of the Word. Let me take the sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Let me purge you so that you can be beautiful. God wants to make us beautiful today. We're coming before His table. Have you turned your face up to Him? Said, I've got the chocolate of sin, God. I've got the chocolate of neglect, God. I've got the stains of not being everything I want to be for You, but God, there's nothing I can do to make You love me any more or any less, but I know that this is distracting. Will You please wash me? Will You get me ready to come into Your presence so I can be beautiful? That's what God wants from us. How does that look in a human body? Just listen. This is how it looked in Mary. Mary was beautiful because she listened to God, we saw, over the last 3 weeks. She humbled herself before God. She surrendered to His will. She learned to experience Him. That's what we've been talking about this morning. She saw His beauty in His Word. She served God joyfully. You know, when you experience God, you can do anything for Him with joy. Something wonderful about that. She immersed herself in the Scriptures. And finally, she kept on growing to the end of her life. That's what a beautiful person looks like. Someone that's clothed in God's, His holiness, they're immersed in the Word, they're serving God joyfully, they're experiencing God every day, they're surrendered to His will, they're humble, and they're listening to Him, and they never stop. They do that for the rest of their life. You know, I don't ever plan on retiring. I want to serve God my whole life. I don't want to stop serving God and retire. I hope that you see that your primary calling is worshiping God. You never retire from that. You never retire from seeking and serving Him joyfully. Now, your source of income might change, lessen, but your purpose in life doesn't. You want to be beautiful? God wants you beautiful. He wants me beautiful. Let's bow before the Lord. O Savior, may the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. We all have failed You. We all have sinned this week. We all have sought You with all of our heart now and then, but this morning, corporately, we want to together worship You, to ascribe to the Lord the glory due Your name. We pray that You will inhabit our praises. And as we prepare our hearts before You in the next few moments, as we lift our faces toward You, as we ask You to cleanse us and to impress deeply the beauty, the image of our Lord Jesus upon us, for Christ's sake.